Welcome to another episode of Evolve Into Power. I'm actually sitting with two powerful women. We have Janelle with us and Leslie, the CTO and owner and founder of Defy Unlimited. Ladies, welcome to the show today.
Thank you.
We're so excited to kind of hear about what you guys are doing, some of the systems that you guys are utilizing.
And I was excited about this podcast today because I'm in love with blockchain. So I just want to, you know, hear from you guys, you know, what are you guys doing as far as, you know, Defy, and of course we'll dive into the NFTs, you know, as you guys tell your story, but go ahead and tell our audience what your company is all about.
Sure. So Defy Unlimited is a blockchain company, and we primarily focus on using the power of blockchain technology to solve solutions for traditional industries. We've gotten a lot of notoriety, obviously, in the real estate world, but blockchain technology can be used in a variety of different industries to make things more efficient and kind of automate processes.
Well, let me ask you, I got to know, Leslie, did you always know this is the type of field that you wanted to go? Where did this love and this passion develop from?
Absolutely not. I'm definitely not technical at all. That is not my strength. But I am analytical. And so Janella and I, a few years back, kind of fell down the blockchain rabbit hole and started attending a variety of Bitcoin and blockchain conferences. Just got really passionate about what the technology could provide, and decided to open up our own company because we realized, you know, we had the opportunity to kind of merge our two different worlds. We come from different industries and using, you know, kind of using the benefits of blockchain technology for industries at large.
Wow. Okay. Tell me a little bit about, your skill set. Tell us a little bit about your childhood. What did you go to school for? What did you want to become in life?
It changes so much throughout the years. I went to school for biochemistry, actually. Like, health was, you know, I wanted to be a doctor, all that stuff. And that was kind of my goal. But then, honestly, I kind of got into the field a little bit and became just a little bit disillusioned with certain aspects of it. And one day just decided, like, I want to learn to code and program. And I found a boot camp in the area in Miami. And I did that. It was an intensive boot camp for a few months. And we learned, like, four programming languages. And then kind of from there, I started freelancing and experimenting with the field. And I picked up a lot in, like, software development. And then when we got into crypto and we learned about blockchain, we realized, like, wow, this is essentially it's where the internet was, right, in the 90s. And there's so much use for it in different industries. And Leslie and I are both really passionate, like, in the philanthropic aspect of it and, like, what that could do, you know, for people and for, you know, all this, you know, all these different industries. So, I guess that's kind of just where our passion really comes from, is where this can go. And even the housing market and what you can do in the real estate market to help people that maybe they can't, go to a bank and get a loan, you know, what blockchain can offer, you know, certain people like that, or, you know, just the opportunities that lie within it. And so it's exciting. The technology is always evolving.
So I actually did a report on blockchain like years ago when I was in medical school.
Very cool.
I wish I would have dived more into it. So for the for the listeners and the viewers, can you kind of explain what blockchain is for those that have been living up on a rock?
So blockchain is a transparent ledger that records transactions. So essentially, it's, I guess the easiest way to describe it, it's the way that we have servers and, you know, all our data is stored on that. It's blockchain can be equated to that. The thing is that blockchain is a system of, like, a checks and balances and, like, storing transactions that can be accessed anywhere. The reason why it's a good option is because it allows you to go back and look at transactions. So you can see, like, the purchase of a home, you know, like, when it was last sold, how much it was last sold, and you can do it instantaneously and without, you know, worry that somebody's in there, like, you know, messing something up or fraud or whatever. So that's kind of essentially, I guess, I don't know if I'm missing anything.
Well, transparent and not mm-hmm. controlled. I think that's really, mm-hmm. because a lot of times people think, well, what's the difference between blockchain and the internet? And the benefits of blockchain technology is that it is transparent so that anyone can see what the transaction is. You can't, it's immutable, so you can't change it after mm-hmm. it's been, well, after a transaction has happened, it will be forever recorded on the blockchain. And it's also not controlled by any person, company, country, which helps give it sort of authenticity that you don't necessarily get with other types of
One of the things that I saw, sorry to interrupt, I saw guys like Mr. Wonderful calling for a lot of regulation into mm-hmm. Crypto and blockchain. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's most useful when it's decentralized, or does some policy, some regulation might be helpful in the future?
I think it's a fine line between finding the balance of regulations to keep your funds safe. For example, even what we're going through with crypto now, maybe there could have been some regulations that could have kept it from, like, you know, certain tokens from plummeting and, you know, things like that. But you have to be careful too, you know, at what point does it control, you know, does it become centralized as opposed to the idea of blockchain being decentralized? So I think we will see regulations. The attraction aspect of it in the beginning was everybody liked that it was decentralized and there were no regulations. So I don't know. I think we'll see what comes up, and I think people are going to fight it pretty hard if it's, yeah, you know, yeah, really.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
What is the importance of having the blockchain and having the, to know who the original maybe owner of something is?
Well, so it's I think part of what the benefit of doing that is, for example, you came from the healthcare industry, mm-hmm. So you could see how, like, maintaining healthcare records, it would be beneficial to have, you know, tracking those for a client. And so, and the best part of it is it's your own data. So you can control who has access to that. You may see transactions on the blockchain, but you don't necessarily know what they represent unless you're able to, like, unlock it, you know, and ultimately decode it. But for example, for real estate, it's great because you would be able to see the transfer of ownership of a property as it goes from one to the other. So it makes transfer of title deeds more transparent mm-hmm. and more efficient, especially through the use of smart contracts. So even if there are regulations on cryptocurrencies, the great thing is that the foundational elements of the blockchain technology will still be true.
Wow. Wow. And so, you know, for those that are as dumb as I am, it's almost like as if, you know, what baseball cards would have the authenticity, where you buy something of value. And this makes it authentic. Definitely. You can follow it and trace it back.
Exactly. So that would be more, you're going a little bit more towards like an NFT, which is a non-fungible token. So that helps you, it's like a unique token. So it is kind of like, you know, if you were to consider, you know, a unique piece of artwork from Michelangelo or something like mm-hmm. that. So it has the provenance of that artwork. So each non-fungible token is very unique. And so with cryptocurrency, for example, it's fungible. So it's just like a dollar. If you gave me a dollar and I gave you a dollar back, they're both worth the same amount. Mm. The NFT is unique in and of itself. So it's got the authenticity of being whatever it is. Now, it may be worth nothing or it may be worth something. It depends on the utility of that NFT. That's where the uniqueness is. And that's where the similarity to like a baseball card would come into play.
What defines an NFT, like the uniqueness and the price point of, you know, I can, I guess, have a baseball card and label my NFT, I want to have it for $1,000 or up to $1 million. What classifies that?
Utility, I would say. I don't mm-hmm. know what your thoughts are, but I think utility of that token, and that utility can just be the fact that it's unique and that it moves people so that you can go. That's where the art world really has taken hold of NFTs. But with our experience in terms of using NFTs for real estate, the utility in our NFT was the transfer of ownership. So the ownership rights were part connected to that non-fungible token. And that's where the value of that NFT is. So that NFT was ultimately worth the value of our property. that's where you get the value of that. You could literally take a picture of us right now and use and turn that into an NFT, and maybe people would want to buy it, and maybe people wouldn't want to buy it. But it's really about the utility. And
I want to back up because I know we're starting to transition more into the real estate side of you know what you guys did. So kind of tell our listeners and our viewers how you guys came into selling a property as an NFT.
Well, Janelle and I had started DeFi Unlimited a couple years back. And, just to take a little sidestep, one thing that we like to say now is because we realize we always say DeFi Unlimited and people kind of connect that with like DeFi. And DeFi is actually short for decentralized finance, which is where we get the name of the company.
I still like the name.
Okay, thanks. We started DeFi Unlimited, a couple years back because we really wanted to get involved in the blockchain technology. And I am also a real estate investor and had been finishing up a fix and flip. And really, we were just chatting and decided, we realized that people were getting confused with the power of the technology because most NFTs were associated with digital artwork. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to show that there's actually a technology behind that that's very powerful and can be used through the use of smart contracts. And we decided let's NFT the ownership rights of this fix and flip property I was about to sell and show how we can use NFTs to transfer ownership.
Wow. How exciting is that? I mean, to be at the forefront of such innovation, right? Like you said, it's definitely the wave of the future. How exciting is it to be at the forefront of that?
It's exciting.
Yes.
Terrorizing.
Yes. A little terrifying and exciting all at the same time.
And I saw that you guys had a few hiccups along the way in regards to cost. So kind of tell us about that.
Oh, yes. There's a cost to being the first. and we went into it eyes wide open. We knew our numbers. So again, going a little bit more into the real estate world, when you're doing a fix and flip, you need to know what your numbers are. You need to know what you're actually going to be spending on your property, how much the renovation's going to be, and what you intend to, what's that window that you can kind of work within. Mm-hmm. So I bought this particular property for about $230,000, $240,000. I should know this by now, but I always forget because I've got so many different properties I'm working on. But it was $240,000. And I knew at the time when I purchased it that we could sell it for about $550,000-$600,000. By the time we were done with renovations, the value was going closer to $800,000. So I knew I had a good window. It was a significant amount of renovation. Yeah, so let me just tell you, it was a lot. A couple things happened. When we decided to, we actually partnered up with a company named Proppy, which is a company out of Silicon Valley that just moved to Miami. And they had a platform to actually mint the NFT and sell the NFT. So like an auction platform. So we thought, let's partner with them. It'll make things a little easier since it's the first time we're doing this. Unfortunately, there were a couple different hiccups that happened. So I guess, first of all, we had several contracts, traditional contracts on the table that did not want to do it through blockchain. So they didn't want to buy it with crypto. They wanted to buy the property just in a traditional fashion. Mm-hmm. And they were definitely higher than what we ended up selling the property for. So I had a kind of a fork in the road where I had to make a decision. Am I all in to show mm-hmm. that this can be done, even though I'm, getting less funding? Mm-hmm. Or do I take the higher offer? We decided that we really felt there was value in showing that this, showing the use case. Mm-hmm. So we ended up going with the auction. There were a significant number of people, several thousand people that actually signed up and registered to be part of the auction, according to what Proppy told us. And there were only two bids that came in. So we're not really sure. We've never really gotten a clear answer as to what happened. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it sold for 210 ETH, which was about $650,000. I knew my numbers were good. My spread was good. So I was okay and comfortable with that, especially being, the first use case mm-hmm. of the technology.
Wow.
However, I woke up the next day. Of course, we're very exhausted from all of this, you know, a lot of media attention. Woke up the next day, and Ethereum had skyrocketed. So I had the potential of making almost $100,000 more. Was exhausted and decided I'm not going to liquidate at this point, and waited a couple days and Ethereum dropped. Mm-hmm. So I lost $100,000.
Yeah.
Again, my spread was decent. I knew it was going to be okay. But these are kind of those learning experiences that you go through. In the future, I think many people are planning on using a stable coin for a purchase like this, because mm-hmm. that way it's pegged to the dollar, mm-hmm. typically. Mm-hmm. typically pegged to the dollar.
USDC.
Yes, USDC is definitely our focus, I guess. And that way you're not dealing with that volatility.
Wow.
Just kind of tell us about the emotions just going through that, because I know a lot of people have questions in regards to that, because it's Ethereum, like I said, it's just up and down, up and down. So if someone wants to jump on, you know, this bandwagon and like, you know, I want to sell my property, but they're afraid because Ethereum's prices, especially now in this market, mm-hmm. you know, what advice would you give them?
Use stablecoins. Unless you're in a position, we are true believers in cryptocurrency, at least the blue chip coins, you know, so you know, you're talking about Bitcoin or Ethereum. If you have the opportunity to be able to do a transaction like this and be able to hold on to your coins regardless of the volatility in the market, mm-hmm. absolutely go for it. Most of us aren't in that position. Most of us need to pay back private lenders, or we need to, you know, do whatever we need to do to make sure that we pay off the costs of doing that transaction, in which case I would highly advise investors to use USDC.
Now, okay. Another question I got to ask for you, because as you're talking about cryptocurrency and blockchain, I'm not very well educated in that. Talk to the people that we know that's the way of the future, but they don't have the know-how, they don't have the knowledge, and they're a little bit afraid. I saw a Bitcoin drop to some $18,000 a share not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Talk to the fear that someone might be experiencing right now.
Do you want to go ahead? I would say, don't get into it until it's going to be a roller coaster. So the people that should be in this playground, quote unquote, should be people that are comfortable with the risk they're taking, because there's volatility in the market. There's volatility in the government regulations. We came into this because we want to be part of this conversation and we're committed to it. We also understand the underlying technology behind it. And so we're passionate about that. I would caution anyone that's trying to go in here to make a quick million. You know, this is not, there's the difference between the gambler and the investor. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you're going to be an investor in cryptocurrency, I highly recommend you do the research before you get involved. You know,
what platforms would you recommend as far as research for them to kind of look up? Like, how did you guys get into it? What should they look for? Is there any specific classes that they should take?
So there's lots of podcasts mm-hmm. out there that we've followed.
YouTube University
yeah. is always great. We were actually putting together an educational certification course that just helps a lot for brokerages and different companies, just giving people a primer on it. And that'll be downloadable off of our website. So it should be hopefully up there in a month or two.
Good.
Nice. And that's just, you know, and that's just a primer. Just like we run into people all the time. It's like, can you tell us about cryptocurrency? We don't know. It's like, where do you begin? You know? So it'll be like a nice primer, crypto 101, blockchain 101, give you an understanding, and we'll have other courses available as well. But the great thing is, you know, gone are the days where you had to wait till Encyclopedia Britannica mm-hmm. had, you know, the information you were doing research on. You can actually access a lot of that information online. It's available.
Yeah, in real time. Eric Hoffer says, in times of change, the learners will inherit the earth, while the learned find themselves beautifully equipped for a time that no longer exists. Mm-hmm. Or do you think we're at the precipice of that time now with all of this new technology coming in?
Definitely. And I think that's you know, there's a difference between how blockchain and cryptocurrency operates now than what it, how it will operate a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. Like, the barrier of entry when we started a year ago was, you know, much higher than what it is now. You know, it was like, okay, well, we want to put our money here. There was no, you know, you're transferring from one blockchain to the other, and it was extremely difficult, and we had no idea what we were doing. And then now it's as easy as like clicking a button to go from this blockchain to that blockchain. So it's like, slowly but also very quickly, the technology is advancing and making it easier for everybody to get in. You know, what we, one of the reasons why we did do the NFT, because we were like, you know, someone has to do it. You know, we have to get this conversation going. We have to get it started. And it's been really amazing seeing how many people are embracing it and doing it themselves. And, you know, now there's a whole industry surrounding it. There's like, you know, crypto mortgages, there's the crypto home warranties. Like, there's all this stuff, blockchain, that's being built around the real estate industry. And I feel like taking those steps to, you know, to do something that, you know, we weren't sure if it was going to work out as well as we thought it was. But it you know, it's like, they're huge leaps in the right direction. And it's exciting, you know, and that's a terrorizing earlier, because sometimes you're like, I have no idea where this is going to go. And hopefully, you know, there's nothing to compare it to. You don't have anyone really you can call and say, hey, how did this go for you? And so you're kind of just, you know, taking a leap of faith, and, you know, exciting though.
I saw that there was another property that they were trying to sell. Do you remember that one? I think it was in St. Pete.
And Windermere is the one I saw.
It was going for like, it was 1.1 million US dollars, but I forgot what the calculation was then in Ethereum.
Okay.
That they were trying to sell this property also. I don't think they were successful with this one, but.
NFT or just with cryptocurrency?
No, just with cryptocurrency in general.
Right.
So I see that the market is starting to shift with using cryptos and NFTs, which is, you know, very exciting.
There have been several properties that have been sold with or for crypto. So that's definitely happened, and it's a little easier in the sense that, you know, whenever you're doing a contract, you can just kind of click other, and that transaction can happen. Either they take the crypto and liquidate it, and then, you know, pay the seller or something like that. I think what was different about this transaction was that the ownership rights of the property were embedded in the NFT, so that when an agreed upon price was met, the NFT was automatically transferred from our wallet to their wallet, and they automatically became owners.
Explain that, because I know when we have a real estate transaction now, you know, you have to have a notary here, you know, it might have to go through an attorney, the actual paperwork has to be filed, you know, with the county. So how is all of that done through an NFT?
It's a great question. So so what we ended up doing is, because we're taking, again, this is the kind of that clunky combination of old world versus new world. And the idea was, let's show where the power is. And the power of smart contracts and blockchain is that it can be, through the use of smart contracts, transactions can happen automatically. And with blockchain, it's a recorded ledger so that everyone can see that the transaction happened and it happened automatically. That being said, our real estate industry is not built in to fit into that. So what we had to do was, we ended up using an operating agreement. What we did was actually sell an LLC that owned the property. That way, there was no actual transfer of title. The title remained under the LLC's name. There was a transfer of ownership. There was a transfer of, you know, ultimately shares of the LLC. So I was the initial owner of the LLC. When we had an agreed upon price, then the operating agreement, which was connected to the NFT, was automatically updated to have the new owner of the LLC. Now, the clunky parts were, for example, you still have to pay doc stamp taxes. And so I had to make sure I paid doc stamp taxes. Literally, old fashioned, write a check, send it off. We're coming up with some solutions to that process with some title smart contracts that will be products that we'll be putting out here in the near future to make that more automated. And then, you know, the other part would be the real estate agent. So pretty imperative in anyone that is in the real estate industry, especially as an investor, is your relationship with your realtor. And I have an understanding with every realtor that I've ever worked with that if you find me the deal, I promise you get the deal on the back end when we sell it. Mm-hmm. So my realtor at the time was the one that brought this deal to me. I renovated it. And now I really didn't need a realtor to sell it because we decided to go through this method. That being said, I wasn't going to go back on my word. And so she got 6% after the sale was done. I wrote her a check for 6% of the sale.
Oh, good for you. So,
again, some of that will be automated through some of the products that mm-hmm. we're planning on pushing out. But that's where that old world, new world clunky mm-hmm. system is still.
Yeah, like lien searches and like Ceci, you said the title is transferred, yep. like all of that still. I just can't wrap my head around like how all of that still fits into the NFT.
So if you think about this particular NFT was sold via auction. You don't have to sell an NFT via auction. So ownership rights in the NFT, but they're sold at an auction. If you buy a house at an auction, you don't get to get clear title. You don't know. Mm-hmm. You have to do your own title search. So it's really operating under the same rules. Okay. What we did is we provided everyone that wanted to bid at the auction, we provided them with a title search. Mm-hmm. We included that. We included an inspection report, all those things. And that was particular for this, the way we did this transaction, mm-hmm. Because it was via auction. But we are in the process of working with a couple brokerages where we're going to be selling properties via NFT, but they'll be listed on the MLS. The ownership rights will still be transferred via NFT, but we can still do all the due diligence that we typically do in a traditional sale.
Now, how does one find value in an NFT? Right, earlier you mentioned if you had an amazing painting like Michelangelo. So how does one say earlier you mentioned we took a picture of you two and made that into an NFT. How does one determine the value there?
So it's what I believe it's like what utility you want to give your NFT. Like for example, with products that we're working in with like a certain brokerage, like we'll offer, okay, if you want to NFT your property, then it, you know, it comes with like a home warranty or, you know, so what anyone like kind of like a partnership that you can like team up to give that NFT value. But also there's like, you know, for the forward thinking aspect of like, okay, the value of the fact that I'm NFTing my home now, you know, as we move on to the blockchain, because every company is hiring blockchain developers like crazy. You know, you have Microsoft, you have Amazon, you know, they're all making that transition in the back end, whether we know it or not, mm-hmm. to function off of a blockchain. So if your home is already NFTed, it's already on the blockchain, then as these products come out, as the industry like evolves, like you're first in line mm-hmm. to take advantage of that. It is a little bit difficult to see exactly what your NFT can do for you tomorrow, but you know, if there's besides the utility that you know we decide to give it, or that the seller decides to give it, and you know, because there's a lot of, you know, there's pros, you know, you can make a lot of connections with it. You can connect with your local, even like your local community. You know, maybe your NFT for somebody's just moving into the city, and then you know your NFT comes with, I don't know, like some sort of gym membership, you know, I don't know. You can mm-hmm. throw a lot of those types of utilities into it. But, you know, as the industry evolves, you're kind of already on the blockchain. And then say you go to sell your house 5 years from now, you know, the value of the NFT that you bought your home at could look very different, and it could be very unexpected, like the benefits that you could even get from selling your home as an NFT. You know, we have a client that is, they have a large community of, you know, investors, and, you know, they buy and sell homes and they flip their homes and they want to NFT all of their houses. And we're watching how that little community is giving utility to their NFTs that they're creating, and it's making people excited, you know, and then they're already thinking like, okay, well then if you resell your NFT, then it comes with this, you know, then you get to have all these other benefits. And so you already have a community that's already building around their NFT'd homes. And it's, you know, it's happening everywhere. So it's kind of the benefit you can get now, and then what you can tap into in the future as well.
Wow.
Okay.
And you can use it in different, just mm-hmm. like Janella was mentioning. I mean, for example, this client, it's their New Wealth Collab out of Tampa, mm-hmm. and they're NFTing their membership. So you get an NFT which represents your membership into the collab. And as a member, you have all these different benefits. However, if you decide to move away from Tampa and decide you don't want to be part of the collab anymore, you can then sell your NFT for a profit. You know, there's only a limited number. So there's that, there's a great marketing element to it as well that you can employ. With real estate homes, again, it just goes back to what's the value of the property. If the NFT holds the ownership of that property, mm-hmm. then they're one and the same. It's literally your NFT is the value of your property. We've discussed about making real estate NFTs that have baskets. You know, let's say your ownership rights are connected to this NFT, but so is their one Ethereum. Ethereum's at $1,000 right now. Beautiful. I mean, if you connected, if you put in a basket in your NFT basket, the ownership rights of that property plus one Ethereum connected all that. What does that one Ethereum look like in 3 years from now or 10 years from now when you go to sell the house? Not only are you selling with ownership rights, but then there's a significant savings account, right, connected to your ownership rights.
Right.
It's really, actually makes sense.
Really powerful. When you start and when you open up your mind to start to be creative about the opportunity, it's really cool.
Yeah, and that shows too where, you know, you're saying that we're in the initial development phases of this. So it's really up to, you know, creative people that, you know, are like, well, okay, how can we give this NFT even more value? Mm-hmm. And there are platforms, like even if you have, you know, your picture NFT, you can place it on a platform and, you know, use it as leverage for something else. So, you know, like how she was saying that your home NFT now holds like so much power. It's like, it's an asset. It's a serious asset that you could use for.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning in once again to Evolve into Power. More ways to watch is on our YouTube channel, and that's at the Claire Cius Group. That's C-L-A-I-R-C-I-U-S Group. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. Now, if you're interested in buying, selling, or investing in real estate, you can give us a call, 863-323-7778. Now, our office is based out of Central Florida, but we can service you wherever you're at. We sell properties from the $50,000 range on up to the $1 million range, multi-million dollar range. So please give us a call, 863-323-7778. It'll be one of the best calls you've ever made. Now let's get back to the show.
Help me come up with the price of the NFT. Because so say you say your home is $250, and you sold it for like $650. What would be the price of that NFT? Because I've heard too that people are able to purchase into shares of, you know, select NFTs, but you're saying with this transaction, it was only one person who purchased this NFT. So how much was that NFT and how was that price determined?
So there's a little bit of a difference. So for example, because this NFT, the utility of this NFT was ownership of that property and it was full ownership. So but holding the NFT is worth the value of that property or whatever value you would normally pay, you would pay for that property. Mm-hmm. It's very simple. You could, in that case, you almost look at the NFT as title to the property. Okay. That's the value of that NFT. Okay. There are tokenized properties. So people are tokenizing real estate with multiple tokens, like security tokens. Mm-hmm. So as an investor, sometimes there's an apartment building that's being built and you want to be part of the syndication. And so you invest $100,000, it gives you a certain percentage return. That's where that tokenization comes in, where you might get an NFT that represents 10% ownership of this large apartment building. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's the value of that token, because that particular token, its utility is 10% ownership. And I think we could almost simplify all these NFTs, because we use the term NFT to like wrap up every NFT. It's really just, it would be similar to, I don't know, an authentication document or something like that.
Right.
It's like this document represents 100% ownership of that property. This document represents 100% ownership of that painting. This document represents 10% ownership of that building. Mm-hmm. And you can add to that so that there could be a home warranty connected to that, or it could be you get lifetime membership to something else. It's kind of, that makes sense.
It's very interesting.
I know it's hard because it's like, it can be so much with one label.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an LLC that's recorded. So help me understand, how did that LLC now become that person's? Because that's recorded with Sunbiz and that's under your name. So now they purchased the NFT, but they purchased the LLC. Do they now have to go to Sunbiz and change?
It's already been changed. Yes. Is that
the back process?
Yes. So that's where some of that clunkiness is, that old world. What we're doing is trying to build these bridges. Like Janella said, when we got into this a couple of years ago, buying even one cryptocurrency was very clunky. There was no simple way of doing it. We expect that using buying property via NFT is going to get easier and easier and easier as time goes on and these systems start to get put into place. But in that situation, we had to then go with our attorney and make sure SunBiz was updated and that the operating agreement was updated so that everything changed when the NFT was transferred.
Okay, so a typical home takes about 30, 45 days to sell. So what do you foresee with using NFTs? What is the turnaround time?
So due diligence will always be important in real estate, no matter what. There was some upfront due diligence in this transaction. For example, I went ahead and had an inspection done and had the inspection report put in. I went and did a title search. Theoretically, you wouldn't need to do a title search. If all of real estate transactions get placed on the blockchain, you're now going to be able to see how it transferred from one person to the other, and you'll be able to know the transfer of title. Theoretically, transfer of ownership would be instantaneous, but there'd still be some kind of due diligence that needs to be done. You still want to make sure that the plumbing is okay and the electrical system is okay. The actual transaction would be instantaneous once you've done your due diligence, if that makes sense. And it would be automated by the use of smart contracts. And the fund distribution would be automated through the use of smart contracts.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So, you know, in this market is very hot. So what do you foresee as in multiple bidders? So say, you know, there's a home 650, but you have like 5, 6, 7 offers, and now they want to do, you know, they use escalation clauses even in this market. How does that work with an NFT? Would they just say, how would they offer more NFT or more money that's tied to it? Like,
it still would be submitting a contract. So if I'm selling a house for $200,000 and I have someone that comes in with a contract for $210,000, I have the option to say, yes, we'll take that contract. Or if someone comes in and says they're going to do 230 or 250, I have an opportunity to say yes to the other contract. With the way we sold it, it was via auction. So it was highest and best. It was automatic highest and best. Okay. So there was a time frame for how long the auction was going. There was a bidding process, just like if you were to buy a property via auction now in the traditional fashion. And when the time closed, the highest bidder got the contract. It doesn't have to be done that way. This was just one way of doing that and transferring ownership via NFT. But you can transfer ownership via NFT without having to go through the auction. Literally, your ownership is in that NFT, and you as a realtor can still accept contracts at various price points, and your seller gets to choose which of the contracts they're going to accept. What's powerful about the technology is the automation of it. And I think that's the part that we have to always remember is it's the automation of it. You can set the rules for how that automation takes place. And it can be, you know, if there's an escalation clause, it can change how that happens. But at the end of the day, it's about the automation so that once one thing, once A happens, it automatically triggers B and C and D and E to happen.
Wow. Talk to the companies right now. It's exciting. It's mind blowing, but I'm just listening in.
And it was an international sale too, so anyone from all over the world could purchase it.
Wow.
Yeah, we had. I think they were saying, Poppy mentioned that some of the contracts that, or the registrations that came in, they weren't just from the U.S. They were everywhere. So it opens.
And they're all in the same technology.
A big market. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Your Bitcoin's going to be worth the same anywhere in the world.
Wow.
So that's awesome.
Now, talk to the businesses right now, brokerages and the people that you partner with, that, again, they see this technology coming, right? Everyone can see it. The writing is on the wall. But talk about the benefits to their brokerage, to their business that you all can provide.
I feel like I talked too much. We have a couple different things that we've been providing to different clients. Education's number one. You know, there's so many people that are scared. They don't know. They don't understand. They think crypto. They think crypto equals blockchain. They get that, confused. So one of the simplest things that we offer and are constantly trying to put out is education. So we've had clients that come in and say, can you just come in and give a presentation to all of our employees in terms of give us a primer on blockchain and on cryptocurrency. We'll do that. And then we can also help with, you know, some people want to use NFTs for marketing. So if, let's say they open up, they want to mint 100 NFTs and they sell those NFTs, and those NFTs have certain benefits to those their clients. So they get first dibs on this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. So there, it's kind of that that mentality of limits, you know, mm-hmm. limitations. There's only a few.
Mm-hmm. Explain the minting.
So that's for you.
The minting process?
Yes.
Let's see. So for the house, for example, we minted the operating agreement. And so the operating agreement itself, I explained it. If you want to mint onto the blockchain, that means you're creating a record of that, you know, picture or whatever it is you want to record it onto the blockchain. So the minting process is essentially creating that transaction that, you know, if you've seen the diagram of like the blockchain is small blocks within mm-hmm. a block connected. So you're creating another little block, another instance of that. And I don't know. I mean, I guess just like
it's kind of like just a recording process.
You're just a recording process, and then that's where, you know, the term gas fee comes in. So like having a gas fee, like when you mint something, like you're using energy, like you're creating another instance of it. Like there's computers, you know, doing that in the back end. So and it's pretty instantaneous for Ethereum. It's pretty quick. It wasn't very quick back in the day. It took a long time. And there's different types of minting as well. But
and I can see, when I did the report, it said the blockchain can never be hacked into, mm-mm. like it won't be erased. But mm-hmm. do you ever get a little scared that maybe it's once everyone starts getting on blockchain, it's going to become so much packed in there? And then what if somebody does hack? Now all the records are gone because everyone put them in blockchain.
Well, the hacking, there has been hacking that has occurred, and it happens on like, they're like layer two protocols. So you have your blockchain, and then all the systems that we use now, the platforms, are built on top of it. So those systems that are being built on top of blockchain are the ones that, you know, could be susceptible to some type of hacking. But you just have to keep your security up. As far as the blockchain itself, though, it's quite secure. You know, it's very, I don't know how you would really hack the blockchain. As more people get onto it, I think it would actually be quicker and easier, probably, mm-hmm. To function on it.
Because of the decentralized mm-hmm. way of it, the way it's spread out, the more people operating on the blockchain, it actually provides better security because it's not centralized. All the data is not centralized by one node, so to speak. You know, it has to. Mm-hmm. It's going mm-hmm. across a variety of nodes, and so every single node has to, you know, verify that the mm-hmm. transaction's accurate. If that yeah. makes sense. So
every block on the blockchain is a block that contains all the other blocks, essentially. So the bigger that is, like the more data you have to hack, and it's a lot of data.
Yeah. So. Talk to the listeners about, you mentioned the finite amount of things. Let's just say it's 100 NFTs. I know Bitcoin holds its value and continue to hold its value because only a certain amount of Bitcoin will ever be mined. Talk a little bit about the benefits of someone, like you said, not gambling, but long-term investing in cryptocurrency.
So it's like, I mean, they call it digital gold, right? Specifically with Bitcoin, in the sense that there's a finite amount of it, and that provides additional value as pieces of Bitcoin are purchased and less become available. The value goes up. So if you're an investor and you're willing to purchase some Bitcoin and keep it in a secure location where, you know, you're sure that it won't get hacked and you won't lose your Bitcoin, there is a great potential to make, you know, to make a lot of money, or use it as a great investment in the future.
Perfect. And so I see with the LLCs being purchased, how this works with investment properties, because I know a lot of investors, they put their investments in the LLCs. Mm-hmm. So say when they sell apartment complexes, they'll put, you know, maybe they'll just only put now one apartment complex in the LLC, or they might put like two or three homes in the LLC and sell that off as an NFT. for that value. So talk a little bit about how that would look, I guess, as far as the future, and maybe if an investor should only put one property in an LLC in case they want to do something like this, or is it safe to put a couple of them in there?
So I think that's always kind of an interesting debate. As an investor who has a variety of long-term hold properties, I've been given different advice in terms of whether I should put each individual property into its own LLC. Currently, I do have all but two in separate LLCs, and that's more a liability element. But in terms of NFTing your properties, you can NFT the LLC with multiple properties if you wanted to sell all of them. You could also do a quick claim deed. So the LLC that I sold with this property was actually not the original LLC that I purchased the property with. Prior to NFTing the property, I actually quick claim deeded the property into a new LLC, which is what I ended up selling.
Talk to us about where do you see all of this going in the next 5 years, 10 years, 15 years?
Oh my goodness. You know, I wish I had a crystal ball. I think we can just, you know, you get so wrapped up in all of the hype and the FUD and all of that. But if you take a step back and you go back to what are the basics of the technology, it's the transparent ledger that's not controlled by anyone, that's secure and immutable. You see, how does that like, crux of that basis of that technology, how can that enhance any industry? How can it revolutionize any industry? And really, the sky's the limit, because crypto time is very different than regular time. It's different than the internet. I mean, where we were a year ago is so significantly different than where we are right now. If I was to guess, I would like to think that all, you know, title will be on the blockchain, that the government will have some sort of government, probably its own blockchain that's working for its own records. It's always the power in that technology, which is, you know, immutable, transparent, you know, and it, you know, with the smart contracts, instantaneous. So if you think of how you can utilize that in any industry, you can see where like the benefits, you know, and where the innovation can take you. Real estate, I think it'll just be quicker, faster, easier transactions.
Awesome. And talk to the kids. You mentioned that you just happened to take a class in coding. Mm-hmm. How important it is. I know Bill Gates started coding when he was just about 8 or 10 years old. Talk to the kids right now, because this is going to be their future, right? How should they begin to prepare themselves?
I think kids are going to be born into it. I think the way that, you know, they can just, they have an iPad. When I had a kid, I didn't have iPads, iPhones. And now you see like a 4-year-old just like, right? It's going to be so built into it. But I think it's really important, because it's going to be, it is going to be the fabric that underlies, you know, so much of what we do. And we're, I think as a society, even like we're moving towards tech and less towards almost like that grind. Like even you can see it now, like they're having a hard time finding people, right, to work in these businesses that have always been well staffed. And a lot of people are moving towards, you know, working from home or, you know, working on technology. So I think there's going to be just a higher focus on, you know, developing your own tech. And and I think kids are going to have that. It's like, it's the ability to really kind of build whatever you kind of like. Mm-hmm. So like allowing kids to just, you know, be creative. It's like, you know, what do you want? Like, okay, cool, easy, let's build it. You know, it's I think it's gonna be pretty easy to do that. And so no,
I think it'll be fun. And we just met actually with some an entrepreneur, two entrepreneur young entrepreneurs. I forget the name of them. The company,
Inventor.io.
Inventor.io.
INV, no vowels, I think, or just the vowel at the end for OR.io.
And they've developed like these inventor kits for children and for young adults, where you can put them together and you can kind of, and I think they walk you through different creations. So what a great thing. It just starts to work and exercise your brain in a different way. You get to see things differently.
You get it. It's like you get a kit to build almost like a computer. And they walk you through that, and then there's programming and coding involved in it. So then they it teaches you how to do the, like, those basics, and it's really cool. And they sell it to schools, so mm-hmm. that's being taught in schools now, mm-hmm. you know, from a young age and universities and things. So
it's so exciting.
Yeah, it's so, so exciting.
So I foresee this chapter turning mm-hmm. into like how we talk about, you know, the older population, how they're not used to cell phones and they're just like, you know, ready to throw the cell phone against the wall. So
now they're like, oh, we have blockchain to do right. it.
Yeah, if we don't get ahead of this now, by the mm-hmm. time we're 80s, 90s, we're going to be sitting and talking about, blockchain.
It's
yeah.
true.
So, I mean, I know I had a question about the NFT.
But here's the other thing that I want to talk about. Is say I'm a real estate brokerage. I contact you and I say, listen, I'm very much interested in this technology. I'm very much interested in how you guys can help me. What is the first thing that we do to get started?
Just send us an email. You can send us an email at info@defiunlimitedllc.com. We have all the socials. So we have Instagram, Twitter. No, we don't have Facebook.
No Facebook.
She doesn't
do our social media.
I don't do our social media. Literally. Told you I'm not tech. And you can just send us an email. We can start the conversation. We usually do like an initial Zoom call to figure out a little bit about your company and what you want to get out of it. Because as you can see, there's so much you can do with an NFT. Mm-hmm. There's so much you can do. Some people just want to just get education. So we'll provide that. We cater to what the client needs.
Follow-up question. Mm-hmm. When do you anticipate the course that you guys are working on will be available?
We're hoping for about a month, month and a half. And that'll be the initial course. We're going to have different levels of the courses. So we'll have like a primer, a 101, mm-hmm. just, hey, what is this? And all of this can be, I mean, we don't expect this to be anything revolutionary. You can literally find this on the internet, in YouTube, but sometimes when you're in the business world, you just want all your employees to be in one place. Everyone's getting educated. Everyone's getting the same information. So that's really the benefit of this. This isn't, it's a very, you know, we plan on making it very accessible, very affordable for anyone. This is just to provide someone.
So I remember my question. So the NFTs in regards to employees, because we talked about that, and then, you know, people are using more machines nowadays. How do you foresee maybe the real estate role in regards to being able to sell NFTs? Because it's kind of, or will realtors still be needed? Or would you kind of still...
That's a great question.
Good question. Yeah, I think it's so interesting. We've actually been invited on a lot of podcasts and it's out of fear. We get people that are like, come here. We have a client, you know, our audience is all realtors or all our audience is all title company. And we're scared that blockchain is going to, you know, take mm-hmm. away our jobs. I think technology is meant to enhance things and to make it better and more efficient. There is nothing that can take away from one-on-one connections with humans, you know? And so I have had phenomenal relationships with realtors. They are able, you know, at the end of the day, humans are not machines. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're going to want a realtor that helps you, takes you through a house with you, shows you the house. There's always going to be a need. Now, will that evolve? It absolutely could evolve. NFTs of right now is just for the transaction portion of the real estate transaction, but not so much in terms of, you know, hey, I'm looking for an open floor plan. And, you know, I've had many realtors that have gone in, done viewings of the properties without me being out of state. And then they'll call me back and say, well, I just went to 10 different properties. I think this is the one that's going to meet your needs. There's not a computer that's going to do that for you.
Wow. Well, with everything turning techie, so... This is kind of like a twofold question mm-hmm. to that, because there's people that's coming up with digital, like virtual walkers. Tours. Mm-hmm. So say for the future, they'll put on their VR goggles yeah. and then they just walk through the house and they say, you know what? I want to purchase this home. And they see it's NFT. You know, now what?
Absolutely. In fact, we were trying to do that with this house. We were trying to get that. Oh, and it was just too much. There wasn't enough time. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be that option, right? And that's part of the great thing is, you know, you can potentially sell your house to someone in Spain because they can throw on some VR goggles mm-hmm. and walk through the property. But I think that's where, again, the relationship, the value of realtors, of title companies, it's just going to have to change with the evolution of the technology and where the industry is going. So you can still provide a very boutique service to your clients. Doesn't matter if they're in Spain and still have the VR goggles. There's still going to be elements there that you need kind of feet on the ground, so to speak. Or when you're listing a property, there's still the need for a listing agent. You want someone to be able to do the video for the VR. You want someone that's going to be able to put the package together, that's going to run those analysis, that's also going to communicate with clients back and forth. I've sold properties for sale by owner before. It sucks. it's not fun to be the only, the person that's contacting, being contacted and dealing with the back and forth. There's value to having someone be able to take that burden off of your shoulders. So
you can always throw on the glasses, you know, and or the VR glasses and be like, that wall looks soft, but like, I don't know. Is that water damage? And they just paint it over. And so, you are buying a physical thing. So I think so too. And actually one of the things that we just spoke about one time prior was the products that we're working on, like the softwares that we're working on. It's DeFi Homes, DeFi Title, DeFi Lending, and then DeFi Property Management. And what we realized through, this process was, the people are scared that they're going to lose their job or that blockchain's going to take things over. And what we offer really are kind of like softwares for that. So even like DeFi Home itself, it's like the automation of the, the NFT transaction. But there's still, somebody needs to input that information and somebody needs to walk through it. And then same thing with, title. It's like, it's really kind of acting a little bit as like an escrow in a sense. But, there needs to be people to like still manage it. So as much as I think people are worried that that blockchain is going to take over, it's really, I think we're going to see is just like more automation and just a shift in how,
I can see less errors maybe. Yeah, with definitely less the paperwork errors. Less time that the person has to put in, which it might cut their hours, but I see less errors in regards to them having to input any of that.
Maybe you buy and sell homes more frequently, if it was like, I'll buy a home forever. Now it's kind of like quicker. And so you're like, okay, well, maybe I'm going to move here and I'll just buy this NFT and sell mine real quick.
That too. Mm-hmm. I can see me sitting on the couch in my VR goggles with my person in Spain.
After the TV's broken. Now, let me. I always love to catch those guys in the goggles punching through the TV. Let me ask you guys this. What are your 3 and 5 year goals with DeFi?
That's great. So our 3 year goal, but in 3 years, I think our focus would be to have a very solid product base, that we've already kind of integrated in a variety of different industries, primarily the real estate industry, but we're looking at other industries as well. Being on the forefront of all of this, we'd also, kind of fundamental to our business and to our individual goals is philanthropy. So we'd like to incorporate that into what we do.
Yep. Awesome. I second that.
just out of curiosity, tell us how you guys met, how you guys know each other. Were you friends before this venture?
And we never went over your background either.
We go back really far. We're cousins, actually.
Oh, okay.
So our parents are brother and sister.
Okay, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
So tell us about your background, too, because we got her story.
Tell us what you wanted to be when you were seven. Mm-hmm. When you were 8 years old.
Okay. When I was seven, I wanted to join the Peace Corps. And I wanted to travel the world helping people. I went to college to do international affairs and security policy. And, life changes its course a little bit. So I ended up working for the government for over 20 years. And I loved it. I enjoyed it very much. I got to travel all over, and then decided I wanted to pivot and have a little more freedom of time and finances, and that's how I got into real estate.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations on all the amazing success you guys are having, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah.
Now, is there anything that you want to leave our listeners or viewers, something that maybe we didn't touch on in regards to what you guys do, what DeFi stands for, any of the blockchain technology?
I think what she's asking is, what's one question that we should have asked, and maybe we just didn't know you well enough to ask that one pivotal question?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. We've talked about the products. We've talked about where our company is going.
We have a wait list.
Yes.
We have that. So our products are, we have our course that's coming out. So you had asked, like, if a brokerage wants to get started, how do you get started? So you can reach out to us. Our website's going to be updated shortly. And, you know, education first, if you feel like, even if, like, that's what you are, maybe you know exactly what you're, you don't need that. And so the next step would be DeFi Homes. It's set to launch Q3. And that's a software system where you will be able to NFT homes for people and sell, buy and sell, do that transaction for them. I mean, obviously, we'll be helping along the way, and it'll be an easy. It's kind of like, it's just like a plug and go kind of a thing. There's smart contracts in the back end, so we do have a wait list for that. And then as well for the lending portion of it, and then the other things are still in development, but. I guess it's kind of just, you know, the way that we foresee things going for us. You know, if anybody wants to jump on that wagon, we're more than happy to help.
Let me also ask a follow-up question to that. Is DeFi Homes the plugin? Is it integratable with many other softwares? Because as real estate agents and brokers, you have another software, another program to kind of keep up with. Is there some integration happening there with some of the systems that's already being utilized in the industry?
Yes. So our what we've catered to is brokerages and wholesale companies as well, so that we'd be able to set them up with a marketplace, and you could actually mint your own NFTs, and then the NFTs would then be using the smart contracts of DeFi Home, the DeFi Home smart contract, which is the automation portion of it. It would be initially focused primarily on investors because we are still using the LLC model with the operating agreement, but we're automating that. And then all of our other products would kind of flow into that. So we've got the title distribution smart contract, which would be ultimately sending out all the funding, you know, just like an escrow account, but automating all those transactions, and they could be done in crypto, stable coins. And then what was the other one?
Lending.
So then lending plays right into that. So you use the NFT to actually connect potential buyers with, or potential borrowers with potential lenders, and using the NFT as the collateral to do that transaction. So it actually opens up the ability for entrepreneurs who may not have a W-2 and cannot necessarily fulfill the standard lending requirements for a bank. It opens up that opportunity for them to be able to get funding and actually purchase a home.
Does credit still play a part?
It will. It depends on the lender. So some lenders require that. So what we are building is going to be something that can kind of it's almost like a peer-to-peer system where the lender can have certain requirements. And these are private lenders who are willing to keep their funding and their investment continuing to kind of work, their money working for them. So they can have requirements for what you need to meet. But I think not all lenders are requiring that. So, for example, I have a private lender that I use for all my fix and flips. He's never required me to do a credit check.
And just to kind of go back to and like your question with it's integrated to other systems. Yes, but there is also an aspect where, like, everything is built on, kind of, I guess you would say, Web 2.0 as it is now, and we're building, like, Web 3.0. So there's as much integration as we can because, you know, we are building on blockchain systems that are completely different than what is out there.
Sure.
But we are working on creating, like, API endpoints, keys, and stuff like that to be able to integrate it. So...
Terrific. Exciting stuff. Let me ask you guys, if there's one last piece of advice or something that's on your heart that you'd love to share with the listener, what would that one thing be?
I think for me, I think it's, you know, it's really scary. I know that a lot of your listeners are entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs that want to become entrepreneurs. I had to leap. I had to take the leap of faith, quote unquote. Leaving a very stable job to become an entrepreneur, become a real estate investor. I am a single mother of two and was unsure if, you know, how that would all turn out. I think my advice to a lot of people is, you know, educate yourself, do your research, but understand, also believe in yourself. I think you have to put that faith in yourself that you will figure it out, that if you're making that kind of transition, there will be ups and downs, and that's the life of an entrepreneur. But to keep on going, pick yourself up with, you know, my first fix and flip, I did myself.
Wow.
So the tools, the everything.
You were working.
I literally found myself at 2 a.m. painting a wall, crying, going, I have a master's degree. What am I doing here? But you know what?
It
was all worth it. It was all worth it. It also taught me to take a step back and say, well, what is my value? My value is not in painting walls. That wasn't the best use of my skill set. But I was trying to, you know, what is it? You know, you step over dollars to save pennies or something like that. And you just learn. And that's how you learn that, you know, where is your skill set? And, you know, take that chance and vote on yourself.
Awesome. I had someone recently give me really good advice too, which was, I was complaining, right? I do DeFi, but I also have a bakery, a wholesale bakery in Clearwater. And I'm like, none of these things are like, they're doing great, but I want them to be here, you know, right now. Right? And so you start thinking like, what am I doing? Like, am I making the right decisions and stuff like that? And it was great advice because it was like, okay, so if you had everything that you need right now, are you ready to like take that on? Like, you know, if your 5-year goal is here now, like, are you prepared? Mm-hmm. And then you kind of just go, okay, maybe not. Maybe I don't have all the systems in place and processes in place and people and support system and all that stuff ready to go. So, you know, even if you feel like you want to be over there, but you're here, like, there's sometimes a reason for that. And enjoy like the stillness, or you know, enjoy the building phases, like the foundation that you're working on, because it's a very necessary step. And
enjoy the process.
Yeah. Yes. Sometimes we get frustrated that it's not, hasn't blown up or whatever, but maybe because it doesn't need to right now.
She's talking to you guys.
But it will.
Where can people connect with you guys? I know earlier you mentioned what you did have, but where can people connect with you all? I know email is primary. How does people get in contact with you?
So email, defiunlimitedllc.com. Our socials are all at defiunlimited. So Unlimited,
common spelling.
Yeah, exactly. You know the rest. So that's Twitter and Instagram. And we're pretty big on Twitter as well. And then her Twitter handle is Leslie Crypto. Is
it? Yes.
Yeah, so. All in name, pretty awesome. Yeah. And mine's Janelle27. So we're there.
Well, thank you, guys.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for coming on the show, for just giving us so much knowledge, for being open with our listeners and our viewers, for letting them know, you know, putting them onto crypto and NFTs. And we'd love to have you guys back in like a year or two to see your development, see where DeFi is. So
Well, thank you.
Exciting.
We'd love to be back.
Absolutely. Definitely. Thank you. So not only be back, but hopefully we're doing some projects together and some different things of that nature. Thank you so much for your time today.
Awesome. Thank you.